You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Robins on the Wire, a Bristol Post podcast with Michelle Owen and Bristol City reporter Gregor McGregor.
Welcome along to Robins on the Wire with myself, Michelle Owen, and Gregor McGregor. Lots to reflect on today, including three draws in a row. We've got some reaction from new Bristol City striker Lewis Juni, and also some reaction from Dean Holden and what he said. We'll be discussing that after the match against Fulham. Also, Gregor's heading down to speak to Lee Johnson today, so we'll have that in there. Some more stuff on Gustav Engvall and his future at Bristol City. But Gregor, let's start by going back to Sunday's game against Leeds. I watched on the telly, you were there. Now, we said before the game a point would be decent, but again, maybe it didn't feel so decent after having that two-goal cushion.
Yeah, it is a good point. However, there was just a bit of an opportunity there, I think. Leeds were missing a fair few players. And it's really a compliment to the way Bristol City are playing, in that the first sort of 60, 70 minutes, I could only see one winner. But then...
Just like against Sunderland.
Yeah, but the final 20 minutes, obviously they fell away a little bit, and actually they were lucky to hold on at the end because obviously Lissoga
hit
the bar.
Yeah.
But, I do agree to an extent with what Dean Holden said after the game, and Lee, that basically it's two bad results, two collapses, but it's just the coincidence of those two games coming up. Because I know a few people have pointed out on Twitter that it's now been sort of six big collapses over the last 18 months.
Yeah, but a lot of them were last season as well, and this is a different team in the way they play than last season.
Is it? I'm not sure about that.
So let's rewind to 12 months, and let's go back to Reading. I think it was, maybe it was New Year's Day or the 2nd of January last year, and they lost 3, but they lost 3-2.
Yes.
Now, when teams are coming back at them, at least they're getting points out of it. Last season, in that really bad run, sort of from Christmas through to, well, it felt like springtime, but it was probably about 10 weeks, when they couldn't get a win from anywhere, you know, they were losing games from winning positions.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I don't think there's a problem there at all. And yeah, I mean, we're going to come on to this, but... They're picking up draws, they're picking up points, but you're right, they're not losing. So, yeah, there is progression there. But the argument that doesn't rub for me is, and this is what Dean was saying this week in the pre-Fulham press conference, is that last season's games collapses don't count because it was a different personnel. Well, I went back and looked at, for example, the team for the Sheffield Wednesday game when they were 2-0 up at Hillsborough, lost 3-2. That was the first of the six occasions.
Let me guess how many of the same players were there. So at the start at 11, I would say 7 to 8 of the 11 were there. And that's an estimate. Is that about right?
That is about right, yeah. Bobby Reid came on for the last 10 minutes as well. So it's mainly the main players. However, yeah, we're sort of digressing.
Different coaching staff,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we're digressing a little bit because, and ultimately, I don't think there's an issue there.
I think they're much stronger than last season.
I do as well. I agree with that. And
even though they are similar players.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And I think, yeah, the last few games, it's been disappointing in the way that City have got those draws, but ultimately they are draws, they're not losses, and they are in a great position. So, still all to play for, and I still think they're going to make the top six.
Well, the game against Fulham last night at Ashton Gate, it was a very different game. You know, obviously against Sunderland and Leeds, they had those decent leads, very decent lead against Sunderland. We've gone over that in the previous podcast, so we're not going to nitpick over that again. We've just talked about Leeds and how ultimately, okay, it was a good point, disappointing to collapse a little bit again. But against Fulham, it was a different type of game because they had to come from behind. Now, let's talk about the first goal. Was it Bailey Wright's man, Mitrovic? Or what happened there? Because it was a lovely ball by Cyrus Christie, a beautiful ball. But how did that get through all the Bristol City defenders? And how was Mitrovic pretty much unmarked to poke home? What's worrying me a little bit is, going forward, I think Bristol City is still okay because they're scoring goals. But defensively, it's been a bit frail of late.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's maybe the main area of concern at the moment. Not a huge one. Last night, yeah, First of all, I think it's an absolutely beautiful cross from Christie. It's the outside of the foot. Beautiful. The weighting on it is perfect as well. I was discussing it with my colleagues and the guys in the press box as to whose fault it was. I think it's a little bit harsh to single out anyone. I think as a unit, you look where Mitrovic puts it in from, and you look where the two centre-backs are, and even Magnussen as well on the left.
He goes right
and
between them.
Yeah, they're all so, so deep. They're almost in a starting position on the six-yard box, whereas most coaches, I'm sure, will tell you, they'd want their centre-backs pushing out the whole defence in a line and pushing out to the edge of the area. That should be the point where that they drop off to. Shouldn't be dropping any
deeper. Because when Cyrus Christie played the ball in, he wasn't that far up the pitch. It was a cross, but it was a forward cross. It was sort of, he was in line with around the 18-yard line, wasn't it?
Yes, he was.
From the right side.
Yeah, Patterson was tracking him over. And you'd probably think, to be fair to Pato, that Christie on his, what you would be thinking would be his left foot, wouldn't be in too much trouble, the angle he's going at. Obviously puts in that beautiful cross with the outside of his right foot. Magnussen was kind of in no man's land, not really affecting too much. But then you've got Baker and Flint behind him, and I'd probably attribute more blame to those guys, because I think they've dropped too deep. I just think they've got to push out, got to be more aggressive. Yeah. And after the game, Dean Holden sort of alluded to this. He said, we were too respectful for the first 15, 20 minutes.
He did say that, yeah.
Didn't get into their faces. And
Mitrovic as well would have been Flint or Baker's man. It wouldn't have been Magnussen's, would it, in fairness? Because I've got to say, I thought Magnussen against Leeds on Sunday played really well at centre-back.
What is this?
I've had some stuff.
Make a note of the time and date.
I've had some stuff off people on Twitter saying, oh, what are you on about with Magnussen? But, you know, the reason that I've been a little bit critical of him is he's been at fault, you know, in a couple of key situations this season, which is fair enough. I still think he's much better at centre-back than left-back. He was okay last night against Fulham. He didn't really do that much wrong. He was a little bit out of position for the goal, but I wouldn't say it was his man. But I actually think that against Leeds, him and Flint did a decent job. I know they conceded two goals, but for Magnussen to be paired up with Flint like that, they did well. I thought last night Aidan Flint was quite poor.
I'm going to start with Magnussen. I thought he was very good at Leeds as well, and that long throw, I mean, is such a weapon.
Such a weapon, isn't it?
Last night, obviously, two goals against Leeds coming from it. Flinty, I thought Flint was a real menace in the opposition box last night, and he had a couple of chances. The one that surprised
me. Why did he swear it?
Yes.
Why?
That was quite
90th
unlikely.
90th minute.
Yeah.
Aidan Flint.
He's got to shoot, though.
Put your laces through it, lad, and he squares it. But there was a couple of things, you know, he did have a couple of penalty shouts, but sometimes he gets so angry on the pitch. You know, I understand, like, his passion and what have you, but sometimes when he's protesting, the ball's already broken away. Like, I noticed it a couple of times, like, he sort of throws his right arm up and hammers it back down and is protesting to the ref. And Fulham had already got the ball out and were not quite countering, but they were getting the ball out, and he got to run the length of the pitch to get back. Now, he had a couple of opportunities which he wasn't great at, but also he just got caught the wrong side a couple of times. And then against Sessegnon was a little bit too quick for him, and Flint sort of overplayed it and put it out for a corner. So do you think Aidan Flint is getting tired? Do you think he needs a rest like Joe Bryan?
Possibly. I think it's an interesting one. I would go right back to the beginning of the season, in fact. And I know he wasn't in the team at first because of transfer-related stuff. But I actually think, to an extent, Lee Johnson wanted to have a look at Jens Hegler. Remember, he started in the back four.
Well, was it not Pisano at right back and Bailey Wright and Baker?
Yeah, he did have a good look at all of them, but he particularly gave Jens Hegler time there. And he made a point as well in a couple of interviews in the summer that I don't know if it was pointed towards Flint, but he was saying that one of the areas where he wanted to see Bristol City improve was at the back, in bringing the ball out.
Yeah.
And basically being a bit more composed, a bit more, showing a bit more technical ability, and being playing out from the back a bit more. And I think that's why he gave Hegler a chance there. And I know, well, I think Jens sees himself as more of a centre-back anyway. Basically had a look at him. And maybe if Flint's got one weakness, is maybe he could be a little bit more composed for me at the back at times. Mm. But he kind of balances that out with being an absolute monster in the air that we know he is, and solid in the challenge. I don't think he played too badly last night. I wouldn't criticise him too much.
Now we've seen that Joe Bryan's been dropped, by the way. Who said that last week on the podcast? In all seriousness, you know, we said maybe Joe Bryan was getting a bit tired. Would he be dropped? And we didn't think he would be, because Gregor didn't think he would be. Joking. Because he's such a key player and he's so talented. And you know what? He came on and he played well when he came on last night. But does it show now that no one in this team is undroppable? Because someone tweeted me saying, no one's undroppable. And I thought, yeah, no one is. So when Pisano comes back, if Pisano was ready to play tomorrow, would possibly for the seven-side derby, would we see Pisano at right back and Wright and Baker in as centre-back pairing? Or do you think he'll stick with Flint? Because he is so, let's be fair to Flint, most of the time he's solid.
I think he'll stick with Flint because, for a start, I'm not sure that any of the guys are going to come back and be fit enough to take part. Possibly Gary O'Neill on the bench for like the last 10 minutes.
But Pisano's away off still?
Yeah.
A week or so?
There's an under-23s game on Friday night against Charlton. Gary O'Neill's already been mentioned as playing in that. I wouldn't be surprised if Pisano gets a run out then as well. So, yeah, I don't think either will probably make Sunday, but possibly O'Neill might grab a place on the bench. And I think, actually, I was discussing this last night again, O'Neill would be fantastic to be able to come on for the last 10, 15 mm-hmm. minutes. And I think City have missed that kind of player, sort of all action, making those lung-busting runs, basically pressing really hard, not necessarily having to do too much with the ball, but just getting in their faces, getting tackles in.
Well, Luke on Twitter said, is there any possibility of Aris Pisano featuring on Sunday? He said, especially after Bailey Wright's dodgy performance last night.
I think I've said this a few times this season. I do like Wright as a defender. I just think he maybe needs to improve a little bit going forward, mm-hmm. offering the team a little bit.
He doesn't always get forward, does he?
That's probably because he's naturally a defender, isn't he? And has more often played as a centre back. His distribution wasn't the best last night, but defensively solid. And I did tip him to boot up Ryan Sessegnon a couple of times in the air. And I think he successfully did
that. He might have done that. Rachel says on Twitter, why isn't Liam Walsh playing?
Yeah, good question. There would have been a chance, obviously, with Pack being suspended. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a few minutes against Cardiff. However,
but Cardiff is such a physical side, and he's not the biggest lad.
It's an interesting
one. He's not going to start, is he, on Sunday?
No, it's kind of how you look at those kind of situations, though. Do you go with a player who's completely different? You're going to try and out football and go round them, or you're going to try and fight fire with fire and bring in more physical players, but then at the same time let your style go. I think he might get a few minutes towards the end of the game or something on Cardiff. Brownhill for me has been fantastic over the last few weeks and this season, in fact, generally. He'll probably be in the middle again with Smith, who was outstanding last night, by the way.
Oh, of course Smith's always outstanding, you know. For me, it's a tough one to say who's player of the season. We'll come back to this at the end of the season, obviously, but definitely a contender for player of the season. Got one from Gordon here on Twitter who says, no question that Bristol City are on a tough run of fixtures, apart from Preston away, although, and maybe Borough. I think City could go unbeaten and win most games in March and April. Do you agree? Most are winnable on paper after Cardiff. A draw in Wales would be a good result.
I do completely agree with that.
You said this a few weeks ago, didn't we?
I think City are going to turn the corner. It might not be Sunday, unfortunately. But I do fancy them to finish the season strongly. And one of the reasons for that is because that's kind of what happened last year. And I don't think there's... I think there is some significance in that. It's maybe to do with the fitness or the weather changing slightly, these kind of things, strength of the squad. It's weird how teams sort of go on these runs, and every team has had a bad run. I mean, just Fulham earlier this season, Cardiff had...
I mean, Wolves drew 2 all last night. They gave away a lead.
Exactly, yeah. Wolves blew a 2-goal lead last night, didn't they? So that just goes to show how tough the Championship is. Anyone can do it. So, yeah, I do fancy City to finish strongly, though.
Jordan says, this is a savage tweet, okay, and this is Jordan's words on Twitter. Ask Gregor, what's the point of Ryan Kent?
Jordan is always savage, by the way, too.
I mean, Ryan Kent, I can't make my mind up. He's got such good feet, but so many times last night against Fulham, he could have whipped it in. He could have played a simple ball. He could have played a 5-yard ball, and he gives it away. And it's just like, I don't want to compare him to Cristiano Ronaldo, but do you remember Cristiano Ronaldo when he first joined Man United? Didn't have the end product. It's a bit like that, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's a good comparison on that, actually, because I was trying to rack my brains to find a player who'd improved their output, their balls in the final third. Ryan Kent, he's got some work to do there, but he's got grabbed a couple of assists. He does look dangerous a lot of the time. I think maybe he... Lee Johnson has been a little bit generous with the time afforded to Kent on the pitch in recent weeks, but he has been playing well, and I do think he's getting better and better. Last night, I thought all the new guys, Joni as well, really put a shift in for the lads, and it was great to see them tracking back, getting a foot in.
We'll come on to Joni in a minute. I just want to get one more Twitter question in before we move on to speaking about Lewis Joni. Tony Wilkins says, if victory happens on Sunday and the run in Bristol City have, would you say a playoff spot is more or less guaranteed? Personally, I'd take away a point at Cardiff and then focus on winning all the remaining fixtures. Tony, that's a big, big question. Would you say a playoff spot is more or less guaranteed? No, I'd say no way.
I wouldn't say guaranteed, but I get where he's coming from, and I would agree with him, in such that it would be such a huge morale-boosting win against a really difficult opponent. Looking at the fixtures to come, and bearing in mind City are, what, have only lost one of the last six games now, so in the league. So
just love a draw at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, they just love a draw, but yeah, I do think they can do this.
OK, let's move on to Lewis Joni then, because we had a quick chat with him after the game, and here's what he said.
I think I show everybody I want to do good things, and tonight I'm sad because I had one opportunity for go to, and I lost my control. I want to success all with myself, and when I miss this, So I'm not happy. I can see outside to France, a new country and new team. So I learned the English football, and it's a good experience for me. So I need to play for sure for what I can do.
So Gregor, we heard from Lewis Joni then. It hasn't been an easy start at Bristol City. He's yet to score. He had a bit of a chance last night, which we just heard him talk about then. It's just not falling for him, is it? And it's almost like he's trying too hard.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a really great project for Lee Johnson. This is going to be superb. If Lee can turn this guy around, get him playing to his utmost, and firing to maximum potential, then, yeah, he gets a £10 million man, really. So this is a fantastic test for Lee. And it might not work out, because it doesn't always in football, does it? But, yeah, I when I watch him, I see a little bit of potential. And I thought last night he did show a bit more endeavour, a bit more willingness to run for the team, a bit more, willingness to get his foot in there, make the physical challenges. He did win a couple of balls. He held up the ball fairly well, not brilliantly. Remember, there was that sort of 50-50 block tackle that just flew up in the air and almost played in Patterson down the left. Mm. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, he did.
Patterson crossed it.
Yeah, and they almost got in from it, didn't they? But it's funny talking about the physicality as well, because Salisa Jokanović, the Fulham manager, was saying how physical Bristol City were last night. That's not something we talked about much this season.
No, and in the press conference, actually, Dean Holden was asked about it. One of the journalists said to Dean, I'd take that as a bit of a compliment if I was you, because you've roughed up Fulham, and that's exactly what you want to do from a cynical point of view. Knock them off their stride, and unsettle them. That's what you've got to do, and that's what I sort of mentioned with Bailey Wright, how to handle Ryan Sessegnon. Well, that's part of the game, isn't it? Get the elbows in there and knock them up in the air. And you've got to. Lee Johnson's mentioned this a few times, hasn't he, this season? He's talked about his players learning the dark arts. And like a lot of people have said on Twitter, why has Zach Viner gone out on loan to Plymouth? Well, one of the answers is, so he plays regular first-team football and he learns these just little items. That all add
tread
up.
Tread on the toes.
Exactly, all add up. Yeah, it's not necessarily a sense of antagonising the opposition.
No,
he's just putting them off their game and dominating.
It's things like, if you're watching a corner, some players are really clever, that they don't pull their shirts, but they just stand close enough to their man to just sort of have a finger on the bottom of their shirt, and it stops them getting away, things like that. Just give them a big shoulder barge, just getting in their face in the first 5 minutes, that sort of thing.
And yeah.
Hassling and harrying like Bristol City did last night.
Yeah, I'm going to sort of clarify what I was saying there in terms of it's not necessarily, you don't have to be necessarily physical either. It's more a case of having an effect on the opposition. And there's many ways of doing that. Yeah, shirt pulling or being physical or just a really well-timed challenge, but you've got to do one of those things, basically.
And Joe Bryan is the master of a well-timed challenge, isn't he? When he came on last night, by the way, I think he's done enough to be starting on Sunday for sure, hasn't he? He made a fantastic tackle as soon as he came on.
Yeah,
although he did give a ball away with a terrible pass.
Yeah, good marauding run down the left, as we know from him. Question for you, Michelle. Do you think we saw the two best left-sided players in the Championship last night?
What, with Sessegnon and Joe Bryan? Well, we didn't see much of Sessegnon last night. I think their 4-3-3 system didn't really pay dividends for him getting forward. And he did have that one time when Bailey Wright missed the header and he got in behind. But I think Ryan Sessegnon, if Fulham don't go up, he won't be there next season, will he? I think he's the new prodigy coming through. He's 17 years old. He's got a twin brother in Fulham's under-23 academy as well. So I just think the Sessegnon name is one to look out for. The best young left-sided player. Joe Bryan is definitely one of them. I wouldn't like to put my neck on the line and say the best, because I think some of the best wingers in the Championship play for Cardiff City. And that brings us on to the seven-side derby. I'm talking about Junior Hoylett and I'm talking about Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, two very good wingers. Let's talk about the seven-side derby now. Firstly, how do they deal with the pace going forward? I know the reputation for Neil Warnock is that, you know, they're always a physical side. But if anyone's watched Cardiff City this season, they do play quite a nice passing game. They do get it up the channels and they do exploit the pace of Hoylett and Mendes-Lang. So surely Lee Johnson's going to have to start Joe Bryan.
Yeah, I would be majorly surprised if he doesn't come back in. I do think City, similarly to against Fulham, will have got the sort of weapons to neutralise a lot of Cardiff's attacks. I thought it was obviously a fairly close game at Ashton Gate. I do like Wright and Bryan and Magnussen, all as defensive options on the flanks. So, yeah, I'm not too fussed about Mendes-Lang. I'm a big fan of Hoylett, though, and he's been in good form recently. And, yeah, obviously Magnussen, remember, he made a mistake, didn't he, in that first game at Ashton Gate. But hopefully he's learned from that and isn't going to give any space to the likes of Lang.
Think Magnussen will start? What do we think in terms of starting 11 then on Sunday? Because, you know, Baker and Flint are back. You'd assume they're going to be the centre-back pairing, fielding in goal. Then is it going to be Joe Bryan at left-back and Bailey Wright at right-back?
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Magnussen at left-back, Joe Bryan at left midfield.
Ryan Kent drops?
Yeah, Ryan Kent on the bench and rested. He's played quite a few games recently in a short succession of time after his winter break.
Yeah.
In the Bundesliga. And then, yeah, Patterson probably on the other side, and obviously the two front guys who were magnificent again last night.
And Brownhill and Smith in the middle.
Yep.
I mean, that's a great team on paper, isn't it? How do you see this one going? A midday kickoff, Sunday afternoon. Unfortunately, I won't be there because I'm down in London presenting. So I'm going to miss this game, which it's not on telly either. So I'm going to try and listen to it, because I finish at midday on my presenting shift down at Sky Sports. So I'm going to pop it on and be driving back to Bristol, probably feeling quite tense, because it's incredibly difficult to call. Cardiff City are on this fantastic run at the moment. They've got back up into second spot after having that dodgy spell. Neil Warnock has really, he's got that siege mentality, hasn't he? At Cardiff as well, you know, Bristol City taking a sellout away crowd. Gregor, what's going to happen?
Well, for a start, you can bet your bottom dollar that Neil Warnock's going to have a few things to say in the run-up. He does love to talk about Bristol City and Bristol City fans. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few lines to come out over the next few days.
Did you hear what he was saying, just on a side note, about there's obviously been a lot of talk this week about how the Wigan fans went on the pitch after they beat Manchester City. And Neil Warnock has come out and said one of the worst experiences he's had is at Ashton Gate, and when they beat them in the playoff semi-final. So when he was managing Crystal Palace and they beat them, and the fans were in his face and things. I thought, interesting timing to say that before the seven-side derby.
Mischievous, I would say.
He is mischievous. And do you know what? I'm going to say this, and I know a lot of Bristol City fans dislike him. He's actually a nice guy. It's all bravado. It's all playing up to the media. But, wow, he's good at it.
When he came off the bus at Ashton Gate, sort of summed him up, because he came off and he got big boos from obviously from the City fans, but he sort of raised his arms in like a pantomime villain style, and he really enjoyed it. And then the boos subsided, and to be fair, he was great. He stopped and signed autographs. He had a chat with the City fans and that. And I think yeah, a lot of City fans will respect him. I think you've got to take your hat off to him in terms of his managerial record. He's doing a good job at Cardiff. He looks like the Bluebirds, well, it looks at this moment like the Bluebirds could be going up with them, the way they're sort of, I think they're 4 points ahead of Villa. And
yeah, they are.
Yeah, this game is going to be a real humdinger, I think.
And when we go into this game, there's a very realistic chance that Bristol City will not be in that sixth spot. You know, some of the teams below have a game in hand as well, but they play on Saturday. If Bristol City aren't in the top six mentally, how hard is that going to be going in? Will it matter?
I don't think it'll matter on this occasion because it's such a big game, local seven-side derby, of course. I sort of agree with Tony in that if they could get that win, and they just got to focus on that, if they could get that win, this could really light up the end of the season for them. Mm.
OK, and you're going to be speaking to Lee Johnson, so let's hear what he had to say now at the Bristol City presser this afternoon.
That's the beauty of the Championship, I think. You could go to Spain, for example, and play in the top league or the second league there, and every game's very similar, very technical, slow-paced tempo with injections of speed. But the Championship is amazing like that, because you go from effectively a beautiful game of football potentially to a dogfight in every 3 days. So I think it'd be an interesting game. You have to respect the work that's been done at Cardiff over the last 18 months, because they're similar to ourselves. They've turned themselves from sort of like relegation fodder, if you like, to promotion candidates, and even more so in Cardiff's case than our case. So it's an interesting game. It's one that we want to win. It's a local derby. We know the importance of it. The players know the importance of it. And we want to make sure that we make the fans happy.
Interesting to hear the thoughts of Lee Johnson then, when Gregor spoke to him at the Bristol City presser earlier on. Gregor, let's finish then by speaking about Gustav Engvall. I saw him in the tunnel last night. I've got to give a little thank you to Scott Murray. I was walking past, he's like, do you want some pizza? And I was like, oh no, it's okay. He's like, we've got some left over. I was like, I'm back out with a pizza for me.
A veggie pizza.
But Gustav Engvall was there as well, having a joke and a laugh. You know of what could be happening with his future?
With Gustav, there was a bit of I can't remember if we spoke about this really, but there was a chance he was going to go to Bromby in the last window.
We spoke about this.
Confirmed to me that there was a deal close with Bromby. It didn't get
this
done.
This was a source outside of the club, wasn't it? This was
It's outside of the club, close to the player. They confirmed a deal was close to Bromby. I understand Gustav was keen to go, but it didn't get sorted out for one reason or another. And yeah, as I understand it now, he's going to stick at Ashton Gate to the summer and fight for his place, and I think that's great to hear. And from what I understand, he's getting on really well with Niklas Eliasson, and you've got the two Swedish guys there together.
It must be tough being away from home.
Yeah, I'm actually a little disappointed he hasn't been given a bit more time to show what he can do. He was warming up last night, and I thought he was going to come on at one point, but obviously Joni got the shout. And
I think he deserves as much chance as Joni at the moment, because Lewis Joni hasn't really showed
that much.
And I mean, Corley Woodrow isn't getting on at the moment. Obviously, Matty Taylor's out, so you'd think now is the time for Engvall to get a shout.
I think so, and I think he showed a couple of nice touches when he has come on against Bolton and Watford. There were just a couple of glimpses of the talent that he's got. So yeah, good on him for sticking around and going for it. And I'm hopeful he's going to get a bit of time, or at least be able to show behind the scenes to Lee and his coaching staff what he can offer.
Before we finish, let's just share something that you witnessed of Lee Johnson last night. So last night, the post-match duties fell to Dean Holden, and I do my post-match in a different area to you. You do it up in the press conference room, and I'm down in the tunnel. So you see things that I don't see. And you saw Lee Johnson walking past with...
Well, yeah, it was just odd because he came past the press conference room with both Steve Lansdowne and Mark Ashton, the three of them. It looked to me like, well, they were going to Mark Ashton's office for a start. It looked to me like they were going to deliberately discuss something. And I have to emphasise that this doesn't normally happen. Normally you don't see, well, I've seen Steve down there a few times. I've seen Mark down there a few times. I've seen, obviously, Lee down there a lot. But they're never together, the three of them. So It looked quite deliberate, like they were going to discuss something. So we'll try and find out a bit about that. In fact, I might well ask Lee about that today and, yeah, hopefully find out what they were talking about.
Oh, after the game, I always go up to the boardroom. So normally, obviously, I didn't do press yesterday. So my family was up there. My dad was at the game, my wife, my little girl, my mum. So given the fact that I didn't do press, Steve and Mark always come down after every home game just to discuss what we've seen, calm the situation or congratulate the players or whatever needs be at the time. And then it's good to go up to the boardroom and say hello, really, to people that you generally have got a lot of respect for and only see on match days.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Gregor. We will be back then next week to preview the Sheffield Wednesday game at Ashton Gate and also discuss the aftermath of the seven-side derby. I think aftermath's going to be a good word. This is going to be a battle, isn't it? Dean Holden said that last night when we chatted to him. So, Gregor, thank you for your time. Thanks for listening. If you're on iTunes, please rate and review us, and we'll catch you next week.
Robins on the Wire.